The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Dory Monson Show. No, this isn't Dory. This is your guest host for today, Jason Matera, as Dory's just taking a break, but he'll be ready and back to give you his cutting commentary right before the elections, local elections, national elections, and some important races here. And listening to Aaron's report with Nikita Oliver, my goodness, it's amazing how these people have zero idea how policing works. Oh, we don't, 50% of police calls are with mental health crisis. Okay, all right, gotcha. Now, what happens? You're going to send out some social worker or a psychiatrist, and this person having a psychotic episode takes a knife and starts waving it. What do you do then, huh, Nikita Oliver? What do you do then? Hope that the social worker gets out with being slashed? Yes. That's why the police are called, even when it's not, it doesn't seem. And these people, I say this because they have no idea. I've covered crime for many, many years. And they have zero idea. I've done dozens of police ride-alongs. They have zero idea how that a routine traffic stop can instantaneously turn into a very precarious situation and could be deadly for police officers who have to make these split-second decisions when something happens. And social workers are not trained for that. It's remarkable. Neither are psychiatrists. You want to send them out to the scene. You want to send them out to all these junky tents? There's episodes. You want to send a social worker out? Good luck. All right. I just had to say that. I mean, Seattle will deserve Nikita Oliver if she's elected. You deserve it. You get what you vote for. She's trailing in the polls. Thankfully, maybe there's some sanity left. But what happens, those of you not in Seattle, what happens in Seattle infects other areas. That's why it's important to ensure, to indemnify your area, to protect it so it doesn't look like the garbage wasteland that Seattle is becoming. All right, with that, we'll get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, big local.
And the big local, we're focusing and still are on all these vast pink slips that have been sent out, both on a statewide level from Olympia and even in Seattle, where police officers, firefighters are being laid off and is critically underemployed as well in these areas. We're understaffed and they're being laid off regardless. On a statewide level, we have nearly 2,000 Washington State employees who were fired because they didn't want to divulge their medical privacy to their employer. We have the biggest hits came in the Department of Transportation and the Department of Corrections. And I wanted to bring in Representative Andrew Barkus to comment on what's going on. Representative Barkus, welcome to the Dory Monson Show.
Hey, great to be with you today, Jason, and great show, and glad to be able to shed some light on the things that are happening right now.
Yeah, before, and I'm glad we have you on to shed a light, but before we get to some of these details, what's going on with one of your colleagues, Jim Walsh, who's saying that he's being locked out of his office? He can't even get onto Capitol grounds because he won't show his vaccine status?
Yeah, you know, the craziness continues. Yeah, I saw that yesterday, Rep Walsh and many others. We received a couple weeks ago, Jason, a notice from the chief clerk's office indicating that we, legislators and staff, were going to be required to provide proof of vaccination in order for us to be able to access our office there on the Capitol campus. And, you know, we have key cards that get us into our office there. You know, it's mainly closed up this time of year. And it said if by the 18th we didn't provide proof, our key cards would be shut off. And we would have to go to an alternative what they've been doing. And that is, a virtual type of situation. But it's interesting because we are not, as sitting legislators, we are not subject to the mandates. We are elected officials. However, there is what's called the Executive Rules Committee, which is what the House determines and makes the rules for which we are able to act. And that Rules Committee met, and, well, I don't even think they really met. They just made the decision, because the majority controls that, that this was going to be the policy that we were going to have to adhere to.
Absolutely outrageous. I mean, it just, what a power grab. As you noted, these are elected positions. We have elected representatives being shut out of their own office because they won't provide proof of vaccination. But, you know, you raise an interesting point. You said that the legislature is exempt from all these mandates. It doesn't apply, or in this case, you can't get in the building. But, you know, it doesn't apply. It's not like you lose your job. And this is the same thing with Congress, right? If you work for federal level, you work for, it doesn't matter if you work in Nancy Pelosi's office or Kevin McCarthy's office, you don't have to, have to take the vaccine, and congressmen are exempt. If businesses are subjected now to vaccine mandates, employees are subjected to the vaccine mandates, especially if they work for the state. I mean, wouldn't it make logical sense, and it wouldn't be as hypocritical that Congress, whether it's on a federal level or a statewide level, abide by the mandates that their governments are handing down?
Well, it should, and it should be consistent, you know. And I think the bigger issue too, Jason, is that, you know, this is what we've been saying all along. We have been under this governor's rule for, I think it's 600 days today. And, you know, but during that same period of time, we have also seen protocols put into place for us to be able to safely navigate the COVID world, right? And that allows us to be able to go to restaurants or go to Seahawks games. What is the difference here? And that's what our concern. I mean, if Representative Walsh is down there all by himself and needs to get into his office in order to conduct the people's business, and he cannot because of this, that's extremely concerning. And as Representative Walsh has indicated, he is not, anti-vax. We're not coming from this from that message. This is all about the mandate and these overreaching pieces that are being put upon us. And now, as we as legislators are unable to do what we're supposed to be able to do. And it's concerning because it's setting the precedence again. You know, we did the whole 2021 session virtually, 105 days virtually, basically locked out of the building because we could not be there with our stakeholders or anybody else. And we have our committee days coming up here in November, again, going to be 100% virtual. So what does this say for the 2022 session? I mean, you would think by now with the amount of people who are vaccinated, the protocols that are in place, the safety measures, we need to be there. We should be there. There should be nothing prohibiting us from being in that building.
Well, Representative Barkas, and we're speaking to Representative Andrew Barkas on the Dory Monson Show with me, Jason Matera. You know, this not about science anymore. It's about control. This is a massive power grab. As you know, to go on 600 days now for 2 weeks to flatten the curve, a complete aggrandizement of power by this government, by governor, and by the public health sector at large. But I want you to talk about the real world consequences for these mandates on a statewide and a local level. The two biggest agencies, it seems like, that have had to terminate people are the Department of Transportation and the Department of Corrections, and these are sizable, sizable number of employees who've been fired. What are these? What are the real world consequences? And it seems like these, whatever happens, is it's gratuitous because it didn't need to happen. It's a manufactured crisis on our hands.
Well, you know, I was talking to people who work in the agency, and the question has been, you know, what changed October 18th? If you were an employee operating a piece of heavy equipment by yourself out on some road doing construction, following the guidelines as set forth by the agency, by the Department of Transportation, the COVID protocols and everything else, and able to perform your function, your job, without any other issues or consequences, and then all of a sudden, because for whatever reason, your choice, you did not need to or want to get the vaccination, you now lost your job. The real world consequences, as you started the segment with, we're looking at over you know, almost 2,000. And actually, it will probably be even higher because we're not taking into consideration those who have filed for exemptions. There are hundreds and hundreds more who are pending exemption status. So a real-world consequence is you're seeing employees who have been with this agency, great state employees, in a lot of very highly specialized positions that were terminated that cannot easily just be replaced. We saw that the last couple weeks with our ferry system and the cancellation and now the change of the route and services. It's going to get worse. The big issue, maintaining our roads, our passes. We rely on WSDOT to run snow plows, which could start as soon as this weekend with the weather forecast, to keep those passes open for commerce and safe passage. This is very concerning because if we lose those highly specified skill set employees in those positions, we can't replace them. So what are we going to do? Shut the passes down? Operate them? Of course, we're not going to operate them on an unsafe level. But I'm concerned because it puts the traveling motorists at risk. And if, as the governor says, this is about saving lives and making sure people are safe, we have to take that into consideration, too. And so we're seeing that. The State Patrol, another agency, 74 troopers. I just released a map this morning showing the various regions of the state where you had one region had 14 troopers on the road, troopers not there anymore. Another area, 10. Another area, 10. This is extremely concerning because we also, Jason, had a lot of shortfalls and a lot of challenges within the workforce pre-COVID that have now been compounded by the mandate that, in my opinion, did not need to go down the way it went down.
We're speaking with Representative Andrew Barkus on the mass firings that took place in the Department of Transportation, Corrections, even with the Washington State Patrol. Representative, where do you see this all ending up? To me, it doesn't look like Inslee is ever going to give up this power. We're going to be at least 2 years into this supposed pandemic, and he's not just going to say, well, you know, I'm going to wash my hands of this, and I'm going to now give up these emergency powers. So what happens? I mean, we can't live our lives in this limbo, and this advice or the guidance continues to change. Now, first it was, you know, you vaccinated and that's it. You're safe yourself. Your community is safe. No more masks. That's all changed. You get your vaccine. You still have to wear your mask. Now it's if you're not really vaccinated unless you have your boosters. Now, nobody was talking about boosters.
Right.
So it's just are state employees eventually going to be subject to boosters and to prove they've had booster shots in the name of public health? It just seems like we've gotten to a place where the inmates are literally running the asylum here and nobody knows what's going on. But there's one thing for certain, and that is Jay Inslee retains power over our lives in a way that no governor and public official should.
Right. Well, you know, just in the context of what you just said, right, it actually provides the answer because there is no reason for us to still be under the state of emergency. I mean, COVID is here, Jason. It's going to be here. It's part of our lives. It is. There are all the things that we have to do now in order to deal with and live in this world that is now part and parcel of COVID. If we have learned to do that, and we are, whether it's the vaccine or the protocols or anything else, why then are we still under this emergency? And you drew right to it. It is all about control and power. My call is, and what we have been doing in the minority, and of course, so my role, couple fold. I'm the ranking member on the Transportation Committee. So I'm number two. So I'm looking at this from policy and budgetary and literally how we keep the state moving, right? When you look at it, the call from the people and the people of this state need to be putting the pressure on the majority, on their representatives to say enough is enough. The majority needs to take action to put the legislature back in play as the branch of government it is supposed to be, in addition to working with the executive branch and the governor and the judicial branch. That's how our form of government works. So if we're in this state and we're going to be in this state with COVID for who knows how long, we need all branches of government equally working together. And the state of emergency and the governor's powers need to be reformed so that we never see this again, no matter who the governor is and whatever the situation is in the future.
Well, that makes...
We've shown that we can work together.
Well, of course, that is rational, and that would be constitutional and moral. But, you know, your colleagues on the left are not going to abide by that. And it strikes me as odd that they would just give up their power. They're disempowering themselves from this decision-making progress. So it seems that Republicans would need to get back into controlling the legislature to have a real check on whoever is governor. So, I mean, what is the game plan to get Republicans back in control? It's not that long ago since you were in control.
No. And it's, I mean, you're right. We need to restore the balance, and we do need to have Republicans back in and bring the numbers back. And we are working on that. We have a critical election coming up in 2022. We talk about it a lot. We are working. I also happen to work with our House Republican Organizing Committee as a chair. And you know, we are recruiting great people. We're raising money. We're doing all the things that we need to do to move towards the majority in this next election cycle. We have to, because at the end of the day, you're right. The only way that we are able to affect change is through policy in the legislature. And the only way that's going to happen is if we're there doing that. Because we keep putting the pressure on the majority that says, you should be thinking along the same lines. This should be looked at from a standpoint of how the branches of government need to work. Why are you not doing that? And in the same breath, I'm wondering why we haven't heard from any of my colleagues in the transportation arena who should be equally concerned as I am with regards to these mandates and the impact on our transportation system. And I'm willing to work with them, as I always am, on other solutions to be able to deal with this, to go against or put the pressure where it needs to be on the governor to make changes with what he has done. It's silent on the other side.
Well, that's the problem.
And that has been the problem. Absolutely. And yeah, change is on the way. It's one thing we are looking towards the future. The problem is we've got to deal with what we've got to deal with today. The upcoming session, which starts in a few short months, and you know this specter of remaining, you know, underneath these emergency orders and a singular control of the governor, it needs to stop.
That's right. Representative Andrew Barkus joining us on the Dory Monson Show. Thank you for your time today and just shedding light on what's going down, and just keep us posted on any new developments.
Absolutely, Jason. Thanks for keeping it at the forefront and talking about it. And as always, I'm happy to be on the show to talk about this. And we'll continue to fight every day for what is right.
You got it. Thank you. And Representative was right. Change is coming now with the election. Whether that change is good for the state or bad for the state is an entirely separate question. But if people like what's going on in Seattle and they want to just sort of outsource that to the rest of the state, yeah, keep voting for Democrats. Keep voting for these progressive nuts that are ruining Washington State. If not, maybe you consider another choice. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dory Monson. Coming up next, Portland sees 67 homicides this year alone. Is about to shatter its previous, record, which is not something to be bragging about. Portland is, at least as a place, that's worse than Seattle. Portland and possibly Chicago. Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory Monson. We'll be back in a flash. Welcome back. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dory Monson. That interview with Andrew Barkus was very informative and heavy, talking about the mass firings that have been going on and more to come, apparently, as he said, in Washington State. So I thought maybe we change gears a little bit, Nicole, and talk about Pop-Tarts.
Why not?
I don't mean the ladies on The View. I mean actual Pop-Tarts.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay, what do you got to
not
say about
Pop-Tarts?
Pop-Tarts
on The View. So, by the way, when was the last time you ate a
Pop-Tart? See how I just roll over those comments that you make? Yeah. I'm just going to keep going.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you had a Pop-Tart?
Okay. This is actually pretty ironic, almost, okay. I guess, because my niece just came over, and my niece, So growing up, whenever I stayed at my grandparents' house, my grandma had Pop-Tarts for us. That was our treat. When we went to Nan and Papa's house, we had Pop-Tarts. And so my niece was coming to spend the night, and I bought Pop-Tarts. And so when she woke up in the morning, I was like, you want a Pop-Tart? She's like, what's a Pop-Tart? And I cannot believe she didn't know what a Pop-Tart is at 13, right? So I was like, oh, I'm going to be a hero for her, right? I'm going to be the Pop-Tart tree aunt. Like, this is going to be great. And she was like, that's not breakfast. But she did end up eating it. And now that's the thing. Now my thing is going to have, I'm always going to have a stash of Pop-Tarts because I want that to be my thing. Like it was my grandma's thing for us, right?
Did you heat it up in the toaster?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
With butter on it.
Butter. You made it especially healthy.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I haven't heard of that one.
But those are the s'mores ones and the
s'mores ones are
cinnamon.
Are the best, the s'mores and cinnamon. Do they make a healthy version? Like you can get at PCC?
Can get them without the frosting. I don't know why you would do
why
that.
Why would you do that?
Right. But my mom likes them that way.
You might as well just go all in.
I guess that's
right.
The...
If you're going to get Pop-Tarts, you go. All right. You made the you out there in the audience. What the heck are they talking about? Pop-Tarts. Okay. Bring it full circle. A woman is suing Kellogg's, the maker of Pop-Tarts, because she says that strawberry Pop-Tarts don't have enough berries. The lawsuit is claiming that the strawberry filling in Pop-Tarts apparently have few actual berries.
Shocking.
I know. I was surprised if it had any berries.
Right.
I mean...
Why you would get the ones with berries.
I'm gonna get my nutritional value from Pop-Tart. I'm gonna get my berry rationing, raspberry or strawberry, all those antioxidants. I'm gonna get them from Pop-Tarts. Yes, said only mental Pop-Tarts. But she's suing Kellogg's for $5 million because she says it's fraud. She's saying there are other fruit fillings, including like pear and apple filling. And it's all artificial.
Right.
All artificial, as you can see, as you turn over and look at the ingredients. But she's suing Kellogg's for $5 million for false advertising.
I wonder how much money she's putting into this lawsuit. And I would hope she doesn't get any back because, I mean, that is ridiculous. And
what lawyer is taking this up?
Who's
case? It seems like it would be a black eye on any legal representative's credibility. Oh, I'm going to sue Pop-Tarts because, my goodness, there's not actual berries.
But you know what? We're talking about them today, and they got a whole bunch of publicity out of it.
Yeah, I'm trying to be nice here, but it's not the type of good publicity you want. Like, we're ragging on it. Other people are going to look at this and rag on it. Actually, I may be hungry for some Pop-Tarts. I haven't had Pop-Tarts in years.
It's good for Pop-Tarts.
I don't know if so we would have it on vacation. My parents, because they were strict growing up on not allowing us to have these sugary cereals and snacks. And so when we go on vacation, it was a different story. Then we can have Pop-Tarts. And, man, I used to crush boxes of the cinnamon s'mores one. They're delicious. I never had butter on them.
Do you eat them raw or do you toast them and actually watch them pop from the toaster?
Okay, I do both, but usually I would have it raw because I didn't have the patience to wait.
Yeah.
Or if you're camping or something, we would take them camping and then you had to eat them raw.
But so delicious.
At home with butter melted. Oh.
The s'mores ones were my favorite growing up.
Okay. Did you get your nutritional value from Pop-Tarts? Were you surprised to learn that there weren't actual strawberries?
He was an only child. They get more. They get more treats.
Were you shocked to learn that you weren't meeting your nutritional pyramid quota from Pop-Tarts?
I was not shocked.
You were not shocked.
Yeah, okay. Believe it or not. Right. Ripley's Believe It or Not, I was not shocked.
That's good. That's good. I'm proud of you, Sean.
Aw, thanks.
All right, so moving on. This is a little sad. Should we do this one now?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do it now. I was going to. I can talk about another mental Pop-Tart, Joe Biden. Or should we? By the way, all right. I'll save this because I do want to mention this. There's a CNN town hall, and they say tonight a CNN primetime town hall with Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
It's not primetime. It's at 5 p.m. Why is all these guys
5 p.m. our time?
No, 5 p.m. East Coast time.
Oh.
I know. It's not prime time. Who considers that a prime time town hall? But the sleight of hand is to help mask this guy's mental decline. Because what other president, I believe I even mentioned this on the show previously, guest hosting, is I don't remember a president in my lifetime who repeatedly only had press conferences or big speeches at 5 p.m. or 4 p.m. You always waited till 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock is the sweet spot. It always has been, right?
Yep.
Because you get the East Coast and you get the West Coast.
Yep.
You get a bigger audience. And this guy is only holding press conferences and speeches at 5 p.m. And it's going to be a riveting town hall speech with
10 people in the audience,
whoever,
all separated,
right, for social distancing. They're going to be masked up. Biden's going to come out double masked with his booster, right? He might get another booster for the hell of it. Shoot me up, Anderson Cooper. All right.
Of course, CNN.
He would never take one from... Actually, he would take one from Fox if it were Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace is he's a lefty. We'll give him soft and softball questions. The key question would be, will Joe Biden know where he's at and who's asking the questions? I don't know. Remains to be seen.
Yeah. We'll let you know tomorrow.
Jason Matera, yes, we'll have bites for tomorrow, for sure. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dori Monson. A lot more to cover. In our last segment, I don't know if I'm going to get to the story. I'm not going to tease
awesome
it.
Awesome audio.
Oh, awesome audio?
Yeah.
We have awesome audio. How do I forget? Awesome audio coming up with me, Jason Matera.
Let's see if you can do it right.
We'll see. No promises. Welcome back. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dori Monson. And Nicole, it's that time of the day, right? The time of the show for some awesome audio?
This is Dori Monson's Awesome Audio. Clips of the day.
All right.
And yes, boy, it is.
It is. And we have a doozy that Nicole, you just identified during the... See, here's what we're always looking to improve the show during commercials of the show. So it's not like we're sitting here during the commercials, have our feet up, eating. That's only sometimes. No eating at all. Nicole and I are looking for stories to improve the quality of the show and if there's any breaking news, updated information. And Nicole, you found a good one from Pop-Tart Joe.
I found a fun one. So today he was giving a speech, I think at the MLK Memorial. I haven't even figured out what he was giving a speech about. I mean, you never know with him. But anyway, it's another fun quote from Joe Biden.
In the Senate, he used to always kid me for quoting Irish poets on the floor. They thought I did it because I was Irish. It's not the reason. They're just the best poets in the world. There's a line from, and I believe this to be true. There's a line from a poem of Kira Troy. It says, that once in a lifetime, that tidal wave of justice rises up and hope and history rhyme. It's not the whole quote. I won't bore you at all, but hope and history rhyme.
He forgot what he was going to say.
I won't bore you with the whole quote, but you just made a big deal about how
about
important
the
quote was.
The Irish are the best poets. And this is, I used to quote Senator Kennedy. He used to said I was Irish because I would quote these Irish poets on the Senate floor. So he's setting it up like he's going to deliver this amazing quote from a poem. And I won't bore you with the whole quote. Well, you just said it was just exhilarating.
Again, I just kind of feel bad for him. I feel like he's being put in these positions that...
It's elder abuse.
Yeah, it's not nice.
Breaking news, Nicole. FBI, I'm looking at my TV, confirms that the remains of Brian Laundrie have been found. That was his bones in a Florida swamp.
Yeah. I'm
over the
sad situation. It's so sad. I'm sad for her parents. I am done with the news coverage of this. It is out of control.
It is.
And I hope that this means that the news coverage can come to an end.
No, now they're going to find out how he died. Probably suicide, as I'm guessing.
Oh, I'm sure.
He's in a Florida swamp. I don't say the silver lining is that they did identify. I thought it was five, but you told me it was seven.
I think
seven bodies in this manhunt.
I know all those four people that people had stopped looking for them, I guess, or hadn't looked hard enough.
And it was all over the place. Yeah. It was like in Alabama. It was in, I think it was North Carolina. It was places
wild.
In Florida. I mean,
so
it was
sad.
In Arizona. It was all over. Wherever they traveled, they've been looking for people. But yes, I hope to be done. As sad as it is, you know. Hey, listen.
It's crazy.
It is. All right. What else do we have for Awesome Audio?
So this is just a Dory Show favorite. This is one of our favorite people to play cuts from. Senator Kennedy. He was asked about the spending plan and had some advice for Biden.
If you have a pulse and a marginal desire for a better life, you know that President Biden is in trouble.
Because he doesn't have a pulse.
And therefore, America's in trouble. Measured any way you want. The debacle in Afghanistan, which has emboldened Russia and China and Iran, the unbridled inflation, gas prices, open borders, crime, a Justice Department that thinks parents are dangerous domestic terrorists, a Treasury Department that wants access to the checking account of every American who has a job. No wonder the American people are so angry. It's no wonder that so many Americans think that this administration doesn't care about them or their lives or their future. Now, I say this with respect, with all the respect I can muster.
With respect.
But my advice to the president is this. Mr. President, you've just got to try harder not to suck. And the best way to do that, in my opinion, is stop worrying so much about the wokers. You're never going to make them happy.
Nope, they're miserable.
They hyperventilate on their yoga mats at the slightest provocation. You're never going to make them happy. Stop worrying about the wokers and start worrying about America's workers. And I'm talking about the people who get up every day and go to work and obey the law and pay their taxes and try to do the right thing by their kids. They made America great. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And we're not going to get this country back on track. And the president's not going to be more popular with the American people until he stops worrying about wokers and starts worrying about workers. And that, to me, is what it's all about.
He said all due respect. With respect, Mr. President. With respect. Okay.
Just stop sucking.
Just stop. Just don't suck anymore. Just don't, it's a good life lesson for everyone. Just don't suck, with all due respect. Okay. What's our last awesome audio of the day?
All right. Well, I was going to go out, power out with that, but I guess this will be the true power out.
No, this is the true one.
This is after the baseball game last night.
Is this A-Rod in Fenway Park, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, outside Fenway Park.
And A-Rod was trying to give his post-game analysis, but it was a little hard to hear him.
He threw two most unbelievable split fingers for strikeouts for out one and two. When Laz Diaz, by the way, missed two.
Are they saying, let's go, Brandon? Let's go, Brandon? That's
exactly
right. That's exactly
what they're saying
outside Fenway Park. Let's go, Brandon. All right, Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory Monson. I'll be back in the saddle tomorrow. Looking forward to it. We'll have a brand new show for you. Lots of guests and stories to hit you with because the news cycle has been crazy these days. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, Tom and Curly. We're up next.
I don't believe it. They've managed the impossible. What an achievement. Bravo, bravo.
What? You mean you actually like this show now?
No, they've made the show even worse.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.